Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala, Yuck Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. So happy to be with you today to talk about Season 12, One Shit Wonder. This is our Episode 2, where we're going to talk about killer clowns from outer space. And to talk about the killer clowns, I am joined by my good friends, and I have Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I like clowns.
Most people don't, but you do. That's great. And James Cutter. Oh, well, so, yeah. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. And James, how do you like clowns?
Well, I'll be greased and fried if I don't love a good clown.
And then finally we have Jack Hall, who brought us the killer clowns from outer space. And so, tell us how you like the clowns, Jack, and then explain why Killer Clowns comes about.
Sup. I'd probably do them if I was drunk enough. Now, Killer Clowns of Outer Space, we are this, as you say, this season's whole concept is that, it's a movie that the guys never did anything else. And the Chiodo brothers are special effects and makeup guys, but this is the only thing they've written and produced, written and directed for a major film. And it's got a cult following. I felt like it was a film that we're probably going to get to eventually. And it just seemed like a good time to throw it in there.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's so many Chiodo brothers in it that I was just thinking like, oh, I was going to introduce everybody as like Nick Chiodo and like Jack Chiodo and Jim Chiodo. It's just like, yeah.
You pretty much could, yeah.
Yeah, there's just a ton of them involved in this. It's
well,
like,
you know, you save that joke for Critters because it's going to come up eventually.
Who did Critters?
They did the special effects on Critters.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Nice. Well, and you know, like they do, and they do nice work for sure. I mean, like you can see the similarities from Critters to this. But anyways, Nick Chiodo, then you have to do the, explain the movie for us, please.
You know what? I made this joke on, the first, episode of this season, but in this case, it is actually fairly accurate. To explain the plot, all you have to say is the title, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's really basically it. We have aliens that come down from space to invade Earth / a small town. They just coincidentally happen to look like clowns and use clown-like weapons that are greatly entertaining. And it's up to really old teenagers to sort of stop this invasion. Maybe they're not teens, but they're certainly in their 30s in real life. And it's basically the same story as The Blob or any other alien invasion movies, but the aliens are clowns. And the clowns are awesome. I love the clowns in this, and I love their weapons, and it's entertaining from that point of view. Acting, now I'm going to get into the quality of the movie, so I'm going to shut up now.
You know, it's actually interesting, though, that the Chiodo brothers really did almost none of the special effects and stuff for this one. They were doing the other stuff. They were directing and writing and producing. And so the special effects actually really isn't them. You know, I think that was actually a surprise to me. I thought that they did that as well.
I think they probably had a huge hand in the overall look, though, for sure.
Oh, definitely. And they definitely did know who to hire, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, is that this had a $1.8 million budget, and almost most of that went to film and location costs and these type of things. The special effects themselves was like a very small portion of that budget. But when you think of it, as a special effects and makeup movie. It's probably more makeup than special effects. But yeah, I mean, like, talk about they absolutely pushed the budget. I don't think you can deny that with a lot of the sets and the clowns are awesome. The clowns show, a couple of them show up again as I think ogres or trolls or something like that, and Ernest Scared Stupid. But they're like, yeah, like. Which one was your favorite clown design, actually? Like, the character designs were so cool. Did anybody have a favorite?
The fat clown, actually, I enjoyed. Because he was always a couple steps behind the rest. Because if they were walking in line, there was always a space between him and the rest. I just found that kind of funny.
It's been just years since I've seen this, and I'd forgotten how many clowns were in it. I thought there were somewhere between 3 and 5. There's way more than that. There's tons
of these. To be fair, there are probably 3 to 5. But then they're repaints of the same clowns in different scenes. So it looks like a whole lot more occasionally.
Well, and then at the end, they do bring out a whole bunch of the clowns all at once in the penultimate scene, really. But there's a lot of... Yeah, I'm sure that they do a lot of, you know, kind of reusing the same mold with a different paint, different hair, that kind of thing. But
I like the littlest clown.
Me too.
He found it quite expressive.
And very evil.
I have to dock him points on. He didn't have any really good kills.
Oh, come on. He's the one who punched the biker's head off.
That's true, he is. Yeah. Yeah. Knocked his block off,
exactly.
What are you going to do, knock my block off? And then he literally does.
Yep.
It's like the second movie in a row, though, that is, I think, like PG or PG-13. I think this is PG-13.
There's not, you know, this is an interesting case for me, like, because now I used to own this movie on Beta, because when I bought a Beta machine, I wound up going out looking for cheap movies, and this was actually one of the movies that I found. I wish I still had the Beta tape of it. I don't care about the Beta machine. I just wish I still had the Beta tape of it. But it's because of the fact that it's designed to be so silly and so over the top and so B movie. It's an interesting watch, because you're trying to watch it with the Boogaloo lens, but it's already got the Boogaloo lens applied to it. So it's kind of like, am I doubling up on my Boogaloo while I'm watching this? You know?
Yeah, there's some of that. I think you're right. It's not a movie that's accidentally so bad it's good. It's actually good when it could have been so bad.
Yeah, and the Chiodo brothers by themselves, given it, like, it's I'm not going to suggest that they're great directors or writers or anything like that, but the thing is, because they do have an area of competency, you can see that that's where the budget, where like, yeah, they don't need to spend a lot on the clowns, because they already have a core competency there. They already know people who can pull this stuff off, and so they do pull that stuff off really well. Like, the ship looks really good, the guns look excellent, the insides, you know, even like all the cotton candy people wrapped up, like, there's a lot of things, like the clown car look awesome.
It's interesting note that, just because you say, talk about the guns, the most expensive prop or special effect in the entire movie was $7,000 spent on the gun that blows, the blowgun basically, that blows the popcorn. It's so hard to get enough.
Wow.
It took like six weeks to build, cost $7,000. It's so hard to get enough air pressure to have popcorn go that far, because popcorn, well, you know,
is light. Got, like, yes.
No weight at all, right? So yeah,
I would have rebuilt the popcorn, I think, as opposed to rebuilding the gun. It
does sound easier, doesn't it? I think you mentioned it.
I mean,
yeah, it's a cult favorite for a reason. Like, you can see why it's a cult classic. B movie classic.
I mean, it's fun. You know, there's a lot of. I mean, if you like the clowns, if you like the concept and the conceit of the clowns and the way they do the things, then it's fun. I mean, as far as being one of these movies where it's not a good like slasher movie because there's not enough kills, you know, it's and you're never quite sure of the plan, because even though you see the one clown who takes out the big giant bendy straw of crazy straw and like starts sucking blood from the one like person trapped in the cotton candy, it's like, is that all you're doing? Because if that was all you're doing, I would think that starting that just a small town doesn't seem like the best place. I would think that you could go closer to a city and be much better off if you were just trying to gather food and drink for the next leg of your journey to wherever.
I don't know. I really do like this film, but it for me, it has like a vital flaw. It isn't that funny. I mean, the special effects are awesome, and the clowns are kind of cool, and I enjoyed every scene they're in, but I was struck by the fact I'm watching this movie and thinking, you know, for a movie this silly, I should have a laugh out loud moment, and I don't think I ever had it. It was more campy and fun than actually funny. If somebody claimed to be like a B-movie aficionado and they threw this one out as like one of their favorite films, I'd have to question their credibility.
It's interesting because, you know, because of course, what's his name, Mike, and then the Terenzi brothers that are in it, there's
who should have been awesome, yeah, but they weren't funny.
No, and they're
that's the big problem.
They're all supposed to be, like, they're all like talked up within the movie as being hilarious. Oh, so you went for the funny guy as opposed to the stable guy, right? And then the Terenzis, and it's just like, oh, these guys are a barrel of laughs. And it's just like, yeah, except every time the Terenzis are on the screen, I wanted to throw something at the screen because they annoyed the hell out of me. So
now that line about, oh, I went for the funny guy, said that, I don't think, I mean, even the funny guy looked at him like, what are you talking about? Like, I think that was more like, I wouldn't put that much in there, but
no. See, I actually don't agree with you on that. When his expression, I feel like he looked and was like, what do you mean? I read it totally differently.
Yeah, I did not think that he was supposed to be the funny guy. I never got that sense, but definitely the other two were. And they are real life at the time. They were a real life comedy duo, stand-up comedy duo with, you know, quite a good following in the LA area. I did find the movie funny. I especially found John Vernon hilarious.
Oh,
I laughed.
John Vernon's great.
Mm-hmm. He's so awesome. I was laughing so hard at those scenes. But when these guys came on, and luckily it wasn't that much, but when these guys came on, it was like just humor that fell flat. Not at the same level as the last movie, which had a bunch of scenes that were supposed to be funny and didn't. But those two definitely dragged the movie down.
I think Vernon is Vernon's so funny that when he dies, I was like, oh, so it's just the rest of them for the rest of the
movie? Oh, yeah. Because you needed... during this movie, you needed his, like, completely dry, completely, you know, just the way that he was going with the lines, like, yeah, I don't believe you, you're just fucking with me, kind of thing. And you want that throughout the whole thing, like, as the whole town is completely getting swallowed up by the clowns and stuff like that, to have this one guy who doesn't realize it and would keep saying that through the entire movie would be amazing.
Now, go ahead. Like, I actually sort of forgot he was in this because his scenes sort of feel tacked on to me in this movie. I mean, they're awesome in their own way, but they don't feel like the rest of the movie because they all take place basically in one location.
Likely they only had him for like a day or two, though.
Yeah,
that's probably why. I do love that line where he's on the radio talking to Dave, and just arguing with Dave about whether the clowns are real, and he's and this last line of that exchange is "fuck you, over."
I know, it was hilarious. He made me laugh so many times. I also like the line. It wasn't funny so much at the time, but it became funny later when "you won't make a dummy out of me," and then when he's killed.
Oh yes.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's used as a ventriloquist dummy by the clown. I think there was a lot of I really liked the job and the kills and the ideas. I mean, basically every idea that you've ever seen a clown do, every trick that you've ever seen a clown do on TV or in a circus or anything like that was in this, except for somehow they didn't have somebody die by a joy buzzer. And I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that of all of, like, I mean, it felt like they just made a list of everything you could word associate with clown, because every weapon, every design thing. I think my favorite thing of the whole movie is that once they're inside the big top spaceship, one of the characters says something like, "I wonder if these clowns came as astronauts to our world thousands of years ago, and that's where we get the idea of clowns from."
Yeah.
Yes. And that is the explanation.
You're trying to figure it out.
That's the explanation for the entire film. There is no, like, that's just the throwaway. That's why they look like the way they were, is they came first.
But that was like the third. That's the third of three theories of what the clowns were that they threw out. Like, they threw out one, then they threw out another one, then they threw out that one, and then somebody's like, "We should stop talking now. We don't want to be known." And I'm like, "So, is it that one win because it went last?" Like, all of them were ridiculous.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, this movie nails the ridiculous. Like, it leans into the ridiculous, and it does a good job of being that, because we've seen a lot of movies where it's just like they're kind of aiming to be the B movie cult classic, and they miss because they're aiming there. Well, this is one of those rare movies that I think actually it does deserve its cult classic status.
Yeah, no, I agree. I said something like that earlier. You can see why it is a cult classic.
Indeed.
Okay.
And
scoring.
Let's go to scoring.
I think scoring is the way to go here. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories. None of these categories is objective quality. The first one we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
I struggled with this one just a little bit because it was designed to be schlocky, so I have trouble going too high. Now, at the same time, it does a pretty good job of executing on the schlock. So, and I did enjoy watching it, though I didn't laugh like crazy or anything like that. I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah, I'm only going to give it a 6. I mean, it is called Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So, you know, it has that schlocky vibe. But since they were only aiming for that, and it sort of has this like ersatz or fakey quality to the schlock. So yeah, I can only go as high as a 6.
I got higher than both of you two just because I found it more. I think Nick had described it as campy. I think that's a good word. A cheesy, you know, more than schlocky. Those aren't quite the same things. Schlock is not quite the same as cheese. And it's not the schlockiest film, but as far as just like an enjoyable, appealing movie to watch, really high for me. So, you know, I mean, I could watch it again today. So I got an 8.
It's always interesting when we get to the scoring because, you know, you try to stay objective with the – though we're not doing objective quality, we try to be objective with the way of the numbers. I try to distance my opinion of the film with like my opinion of a specific category. I actually didn't like the movie that much.
Oh, really?
But on this category, it's still an 8 for me, just because of the pitch and the overall concept. You know, this is a crazy concept.
Have you ever seen it before, out of curiosity?
No, I had never seen it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, see, in fairness, I've watched it one time before, and had no intention of ever watching it again until this. And now, after seeing it again, I won't watch it again. I mean, it's seeing it twice is like, yep, yeah, okay, I'm Killer Clown. Now, that being said, if they did the finally ever got the sequel or the TV show, I'd be all over that.
I think that niche of this kind of movie, they were ahead of the curve on that in 88. I mean, this is the kind of thing that now we don't even look at for the show. Like it, because you look at like a Sharknado, we don't even consider that kind of movie because it's so self-aware. This is self-aware without knowing that there was a built-in audience for that.
Mm-hmm.
It is early as far as that goes. If this movie came out 10 years later,
no way.
I agree. Yeah.
Although that's I think point. A television show that, you know, sort of amps up some of the suspense elements could be really awesome. I'd love that.
Oh, for sure. Like I'm down with sequels or anything like that.
The Dark,
sure.
I mean, they've been trying to get it off, you know, sequels or anything off the ground for years, and they were really close in 2016 to doing a 3D version of this, and kind of a, they called it a requel, kind of a mix of a remake and a sequel. But I think Sci-Fi Channel actually bought the rights to this now, and I mean, you know, I that means we're probably going to see something, whether it be movies that are made from Sci-Fi Channel or series. I think something's going to happen. It's just, it's taken forever. It's been in development hell.
All right. 8 was what I put. More heart than budget. 1.8 was what Jack told us there for the budget.
Well, and again, I think it's one of those interesting cases where you talk about the you know, most of the money was spent on locations and that kind of thing, because when you look at the sets, they do look amazing. The clowns look really good. You know, and I think they went for their strengths. And so by that token, I'm going to go with an 8.
Oh, yeah, there is definitely a heart here, but that's a pretty big movie, a budget for...
Okay, well, that is actually 5%. I looked it up. That's 5% of your average Hollywood movie from 1988.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I... 7. Yeah.
I got higher because, again, I'm really impressed with what they did with the money. I think they stretched it really, really far. And I mean, clearly everybody was into it. So I got a 9.
9, wow. I'm lower on this one. I think not all the money went in the right directions. I think the spaceship set was a lot more elaborate, and the clowns could have. I mean, the clowns are basically just a plastic head. There's no expression. There's no movement to that. So, only 6 for me on this category. What the fuck moments?
I see. I really struggled with this one because of the way that the movie's built. I mean, the movie is built to house these kind of clown moments and that kind of thing. So I found it to be pretty difficult. Like, now, one of the things that I absolutely adored was when they shot the two characters with the popcorn, and the clown made a dog. A balloon dog, which then chased them. And then the balloon dog made an appearance later. I mean, is it what the fuck? I don't know, but it's fucking awesome is what it is.
You know, they had to make that out of latex because the actual balloon that they first made would, when they had it running on the ground, would pop on like the pines and stuff, pine and stuff like that was on the ground. So.
Oh, and that makes total sense. I mean, you know, but it's good work. It's fun. Of course, the clown knocking the biker's block off, that's funny. And then, now, we talked about John Vernon as the ventriloquist dummy. What I loved about that is I love that they had the blood coming down from the side of his mouth to give him that look, that extra look. I mean, that was really well done. Probably the most what the fuck was with the Terenzi brothers at the end when they are... like all in the clown ship, and the Terenzi brothers wind up in the ball pit with the female clowns, and then their female clowns, like, their breasts grow like you know, blowout, and it's just like, whoa. And then at the very end, of course, you see them, their clothes are torn, they've got, like, big lipstick marks all over them. So, I mean, that was the most out there part for me. I can only give it a 6, though.
Yeah, considering what this movie actually contains, I can't believe I'm giving it a score this low. But you present me a movie where clowns kill people in humorous ways, and I can't really call when clowns kill people in humorous ways WTFs. Lots of awesome stuff. I really like the shadow puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And the clown in the car, not a car, was awesome, but they're not WTF, so I can't give it any higher than a 3, and that's because they didn't really explain all the stuff with the popcorn as well as I would have liked.
All right, I watched 1958's Steve McQueen's The Blob like 6 weeks ago, and if you do, you get more WTFs definitely, just because this movie opens with a guy for no reason. He's got a Southern accent when nobody else does, but a guy with a dog who sees this comet thing go over top and goes out to look at it and then gets killed, which is the exact same opening. A guy with a dog who's in a cabin who goes out and sees the blob and gets killed. And same thing, the John Vernon character, the guy who hates teenagers, who's a police officer for no reason, and I'm looking at that, and that's a little WTF for me, that they're so blatant in taking everything from the blob to start this. But for most of it, it's like, yeah, no, it's well enough made, and everything makes sense within its world. You know, if you have killer clowns, like you say, who are killing people, and they're doing it with, like, mallets and puppets and things, that makes sense. I mean, sure, you can see, like, you know, the puppets coming out of the toilet. You can see the guy's hand and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a small budget movie. Then you get to that end, and I'm going to go into it a lot more detail than Stan did, because I think that end in the last, the climax is just WTFs, just a boom, boom, boom. It makes no sense. So they decide, after the girl has been, the female lead has been kidnapped by the clowns, to go and rescue her, the boyfriend and the ex-boyfriend, who's a cop. So they figure out where she would be is the fairgrounds, where there's like a fun house, I guess you would call it, right? With a clown and stuff in front. And at this point, those two brothers, the two annoying brothers, are with them. So it's the cop, the two annoying brothers, and the boyfriend. They go in, and like you say, they basically say to the two boyfriends who showed up because they heard that the girl, the female lead, had hot roommates, and they want to meet them. they fall down some sort of trap door right behind them, and fall into those balls. And you say there's the girls with the balloons, and they're sitting there going, "Are these the roommates? There's the clowns with the big balloon breath. Are these the roommates? Oh, that's weird." I like that. See, I'm watching it, and you know, and the boyfriend turns around, and you can see him stumble over the guy because it clearly just dropped down, and there was no real trap door, and he almost falls over. But this is the part that gets me. Then they're running around. They eventually rescue her. They're in this room, and they're trying to escape, and they go down like a freaking fire. What do you call them? Like a fireman's pole and stuff like that. And they're running around this ship, and they get into this room. They went into a fun house. I'd like to repeat, a fun house with a normal entrance. And then it turns out that the ship takes up all this space, which is it's something to do with it. It can manipulate size and time. That's when the two brothers show up. Like you say, their clothes are torn. They got the kisses on them. But they got their ice cream truck because they used an ice cream truck because they thought selling ice cream was how they could get laid. Now, all of a sudden, they just happen to drive this ice cream truck right through the wall in the exact spot that these people are, which means that they had to go outside, figure their way out, and then drive this thing back in through a fun house for no reason and show up. So this giant then, he's known as JoJo Clownzilla, this giant clown comes down. All the other clowns scatter. And this clown is like 15 feet high. He's like beating on the truck, and he grabs and picks it, the ice cream truck, and he grabs and picks it up and throws it to the side. Then the truck is thrown, it lands, it kind of bounces, and then it explodes with like sparkly explosions. Like, and it explodes from the back end first, where the engine isn't.
Where the ice cream is, the highly flammable ice cream that they were
carrying. Yes, yes.
But I mean, the gas tank would be at the back.
Weren't they selling Astro Pops?
It doesn't matter. Why
are those
the
more
gas,
flammable even, than ice cream?
if you're thrown, why would a gas tank explode? It doesn't make any sense.
Come on, in every movie. Cars explode. That's what happens in these. That is
super common that cars are made out of dynamite in these in movies. Yeah.
In these movies. And it is because it is one massive explosion. There is a bunch of fire. Then the clown turns around and grabs the cop character, and all of a sudden he's like 80 feet tall. He grabs him in his hand like Godzilla. He's like way bigger than he was before. And basically you can kill the clowns by hitting their nose, and the cop manages to use his nameplate with the little spike thing to spike the nose, and it blows up, and the Clownzilla dies, and they're at this point the spaceship was taking off, and they were in the midair, he gets in the clown car, the cop, and survives. Bam, bam, bam. And as soon as he survives, and by the way, originally he died. Originally the brother survived and he died. And then the audience didn't like that reaction, so they reshot it. So that he survives and the brothers survive. I mean, the brothers were in a vehicle that must have been like 1,000 degrees burning. And they say they escaped because they went into the freezer. Now, I'm not saying this is as ridiculous as surviving a nuclear bomb in a refrigerator, but it's pretty damn close.
Oh, come on. I mean, it's ridiculous because it's killer clowns from outer space, and it was supposed to be ridiculous.
But as a WTF, I'm like, how big do you think that... I don't think you could fit one man inside of the freezer in those things. Nevertheless, two. Nevertheless, that it would survive fire. And even if the fire was... How would they know when it's done? How would you walk when you get out? Everything would still be really hot. It was metal. It was on fire. How'd they get into the car? And why didn't they say anything when he was in the car? Nobody knew. This to me is like a sequence of WTFs that's crazy. But the rest of the movie didn't have many, so five. See,
you look way deeper into this whole thing than the rest of us.
I think he's manufacturing stuff here because all that happened. But I mean, this movie is already so silly that, and obviously doing the PG-13
or a 5. I didn't give it a 10 or anything based on it. I scored it a 5.
Oh yeah, but your score and your explanation are not.
Yes, they are. I'm saying
not in line with each other.
I'm saying it's a sequence of amazing WTFs that shows up out of nowhere in the last 10 minutes, but the rest of the movie doesn't really have any.
All right, Jim, save us from that.
I think he ran through every moment of the movie, so I don't think there can be any more. I also thought the exploding ice cream was kind of good. I think my favorite WTF is amazingly after the thing Jack just went through, which is the ship takes off and then it explodes, and then they're next to the cops, and everyone's got this like, oh, it all worked out. And I'm like, aren't you the only 5 survivors out of an entire like everyone you've ever known is dead, and you're just like, oh, that's a relief.
At least it wasn't me.
Didn't really ever try to save anyone either, did they?
No.
They got the girl out of the balloon, but there was tons of balloons there.
Other balloons, yeah. And then at one point, he's about to go back, and they're like, no, it's too late. And I'm like, is it though? Yeah.
Could you not use more people to help out than your little tiny group of five that has two freaking idiots in it? But, yes.
I think my challenge with this film is that it's not that it's lacking in WTFs. I just think it's like the same one or two WTFs for the entire film. Only four for me. Memorable moments.
This movie is memorable insofar as it's called Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and it is a cult classic, and I think we're all going to remember now that we've seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space. How much will we remember other than the look of the clowns, the look of the spaceship, and the guns and that kind of thing? I mean, there's probably a fair bit. Like, it's not like I can quote from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but I think that there's a look that will stay there. So I'm going to give it a six.
Absolutely. I'm not going to confuse the clowns from this with Pennywise or any other clown ever. If they ever remake this, they definitely have to get that like specific look to even like use the title, I think. Otherwise, nobody's going to even associate it with this movie. So yeah, there's something memorable there, but on a whole, yeah, I can only give it a five because I mean, a movie like this needs to be quotable, and this just isn't.
I'd like to mention also a WTF is that the very opening scene. There's I just give remember it a break. No, the very opening scene, the fact that that a guy's drinking beer and he walks out, and I'm like, who is that? And then that's Christopher Titus.
Yes.
Years before he had his TV show or became one of the top touring comedians of the last 20 years. Like, Christopher Titus in 1988? That was weird. Anyways, I think it's not just my WTFs that we're judging this on, or my memorable moments judging on. The memorable moments is how much of an impact has it had on pop culture. And this has toys made on it, and they still talk about the sequel all these years later. And the title is iconic, and it's on tons of lists, and it's gatherings for it, and it's in Universal Studios' Halloween Terrors thing, and it's made a major pop culture impact, along with the clowns and the title being just absolutely memorable. I think anything less than a nine is a mistake.
All right, then I'm ready to make a mistake. Five for me as well. Crazy concept is our final category.
I assume that this seems pretty crazy for 1988. It seems like going out and like almost remaking The Blob as a clown movie. That seems pretty crazy. I can't imagine wanting to pitch this to somebody where it's like, all right, so imagine The Blob, and now we're going to take clowns, and all of them are, and we're going to do everything around clowns. Now, that being said, once you get over that initial, like, we're going to do everything with clowns, then it actually isn't that crazy. So I'm going to go with a seven.
I can't even go that high. Basically, the concept to me is we got two special effects wizards who want to make a movie, and it's not going to cost us that much, and it's going to look awesome. It's going to make a couple bucks. Why don't we throw them like 1.5 mil and let them go? So, yeah, I can only give it, five.
There's three Chiodo brothers, not two.
Yeah,
plus sisters and whatever else.
No, he isn't. He's not uncredited.
If you look at the credits afterwards, there's many other Kyotos as well. So
yeah, exactly. So anyways, it's The Blob. So that's not crazy. I mean, to me, that's anything but. But then you say, the pitch is Killer Clowns. Because this is actually how the pitch went. Killer Clowns. They went, Killer Clowns. We don't want to make another slasher movie. I met Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's how it went down. And all of a sudden, that does pop up a little bit higher. I'm splitting the difference between you two, and I got a six on it.
I'll go up to a seven on this. for no other particular reason.
Because why not?
All right. That brings us to the end of our scoring. Each season we have six secret modifiers. This film does pick up a plus one because Stephen Chiodo did find his calling in another field. His puppeteering animation credits are really impressive. And stuff like the Power Rangers movie, Team America World Police, Beastmaster 3, stop motion in Elf. There's definitely a lot of, he was meant for something besides directing, which gives us a...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going to argue about this. This one set up a sequel big time.
Did it?
Well, it came out. Hey, is it over? And then the pies slapped them. To me, I mean, if we called the last one setting up a sequel, absolutely to me sets
but
up. But
I think you'd also have to say though that you know for working more than one role,
He doesn't take any other credits.
Okay. It's just because there's a billion Kyoto,
he himself doesn't take any other credits.
Oh, he doesn't take any other credits. Okay, well, I didn't say it was him. I said it was Kyoto Brothers. So,
but it's him that the movie is being chosen for.
No, it was chosen for the Kyoto Brothers.
They work elsewhere.
I can't give it the three roles because there's three of them. So it's like that seems like. I'm sure they did a bunch of roles within, but I would argue, for me, I would
Charles
argue that.
Charles played the killer clown, he produced and he wrote.
Did he, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, if you don't want to, it's no big deal. I do agree it should take a negative for being left open for a sequel, based on Stan's logic.
Alrighty, sounds good. So the pluses and the negatives cancel everything out. giving a final total of 63.5, which places it right behind Game of Death 2 and right ahead of Cast a Deadly Spell.
It's an interesting movie because it's so culty, right? You know, just talking about it is a very different experience, I think, than most of our general incompetent movies.
And it's actually really interesting to see a movie like this that is such a cult icon, like cult classic, at the level that it is, and to see that it only scores right kind of a 63, right in the middle on the Boogaloo scale, which says a lot about the type of movie we're looking for.
But because the problem is for us, it comes with baggage. It's got so much extra baggage attached to it that I don't know how to score it. Like, overall, when I watch it, it's just like, yeah, okay, so this movie doesn't make me want to watch it again. Like, it's not like some of these movies where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, we talk about Ninja 3, we talk about Deadly Prey, we talk about these kind of things, Miami Connection. And it's just like, yeah, I stop watching it. I think about it for half an hour, try to parse it in my head, and then after 30 minutes, I'm like, so what am I doing? Well, I could watch that movie over again right now, because it's awesome. And
that's exactly what I'm saying, is that this movie, it's interesting that a movie that's so, like I say, such a cult classic, isn't what we're looking for. Like, it's interesting, it really narrows our focus in a lot of ways of what we should be picking. Because movies like this don't work.
No, it's just too hard for us to get over our scoring desires to be able to be like, yeah, well, it's supposed to be like that. So, and it is.
You know? It's the strength of that goes back to the strength of our scoring system and how great the best movies are, and what it is about them that makes them work.
I think that we've always known that self-awareness is a negative for a movie overall. It's why we haven't hit. Very many of the sci-fi channel things or that kind of film that, because they know what they are, and this knew what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They knew what it was before it was common, but it still knows what it is.
Yeah.
It gets some points for being kind of ahead of the curve on that, for me anyway.
Totally. I agree.
All right, Jim, let's do some business.
Excellent. Please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube, and we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Also, the home of the Octagon is WeTalkPodcasts.com. You can sort every episode we've done so far in each of the five categories, as well as their final total, and with a link there to the individual episodes. We Talk Podcasts also has a Facebook, and they have a Twitter.
Okay. Well, One Shit Wonder carries on with next episode, where we do Phase 4, which is fantastic. I know nothing about it, so I look forward to learning all about it.
I'm assuming it is the sequel to Phase 3.
Phase 3, okay.
Seems unlikely to me.
Well, that would...
I think it's the current means we're watching all the next Marvel movies.
that's right. See, there's so many things it could be, which is fantastic. I look forward to finding out what it actually is, which I'm sure is nowhere near as interesting as it could be. But that's good. And I want to be. You know, I hope there's a general level of confidence that this movie has that we can talk about and enjoy. Okay, I think we should wrap this episode up so that we can move on to talking about Phase 4. Does anybody else have anything left to say?
I just want to say, bite me, Nick.
All right, good, excellent.
Where?
In your nose, your clown nose.
I don't know if that's like an insult or an invitation. So.
You can only defeat Nick by shooting his nose.
Okay, so...
Well, it is red for a different reason.
For Jim, and for Jack, and for Nick, and his red nose, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
It was a night like any other night. Then, something happened. You see that? Something... different.
It's no shooting star.
Why here? Why now? Why clowns? They've been knocking them dead all over the universe.
What are you gonna do? Knock my block off?
Soon they'll be doing it at a theater near you.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Pizza.
Maybe they're just cruising through the galaxy and stopped here for a bite to eat.
You don't need a police, pal. You need a psychiatrist.
Uh-oh.
They want to play games? They're messing with the wrong guy.
What are you in for?
Killer clowns from outer space. It's crazy.